you can't get to Sukkot until you go through trumpets, until the day of awakening blast. And guess what? You can't get to Yom Kippur until you get there. So it's so easy for us, and it's so easy for me, to look to Sukkot because we have such a blast that sometimes this other part of the season of trumpets and in Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, it just sneaks up on us. There's so much going on. We're busy. I was talking to Richard earlier. Richard was talking about, I got like 4 days to get ready for Sukkot. But when he's thinking about it, because he works every day, he's got 4 Sundays. You know what I'm saying? And then when you think about it like that, then it becomes crunch time. But without that, sometimes what will happen is I know like Terry and Sandra, your house is going, the brick's going up. There's so much. But what can happen is we can get so focused on that, we can not be focused on what we need to really be focused on in this time and season. So I want to read the scripture in Leviticus 23:23. Like I said, it's on the board. It says, "And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying..." Now there's 4 things here that he tells us to do in verse 24. He says, "Speak to the people of Israel, saying, in the 7th month..." We're in the 6th month right now. Pretty soon we'll be in the 7th month. "On the first day of the month..." It says, "You shall observe a day of solemn rest." This is what we call a high Sabbath. This is a Sabbath to us. This is a day of solemn rest. You're going to see in the next verse, we're not to do any work. The next thing it says, "A memorial proclaimed with blast of trumpets." And that word is teruah. Blast of trumpets there in the Hebrew is teruah. And then it says a holy convocation. So we have a Shabbat, we have a memorial, we have the blast of trumpets, and we have a holy convocation. First thing I want to say here is this, a memorial. What is the word memorial? In the encyclopedia, or definition is this, a memorial is an object or an event which serves as a focus for memory of something. I want to read it again. Memorial is an object or event that serves as a focus for memory of something. What is this for us? The return of Yeshua. Return of Yeshua, this trumpet blast, that day when we're going to hear this shofar blast, this teruah is what we're going to hear. And I'm going to have Mark in a few moments. He's going to do the teruah blast for us. But a memorial... Passover. Is Passover important? Absolutely, it's important. But me teaching on Passover today is out of sync with Yahweh. It doesn't mean it's not important, but it's out of what? Season. It's out of focus. It's out of timing. So the Father puts these times and seasons for us to focus. For us to focus, because He knows that we're busy. Right now, my focus and most of your focus is really on Sukkot. I know all the children are focusing on Sukkot. Because if you ask them out of the 3, what are they're gonna vote? If you had to, that's what their focus is on, because that's the time when we will camp together, we will be together, and that's an exciting time. But guess what? We have to focus on everything we know to get to that time, because there's no shortcuts. Because if you don't hear the voice of the shofar and hear that proper voice in the proper season and time, you can miss Sukkot. Thinking that you've got everything done, you can end up missing the very thing that we've been practicing. So this memorial is about focusing. Now, whenever Pesach turns around, that's what we're going to be talking about is Passover, because that's where our focus needs to be. So this is why this scripture is so important. We're in the days of Elul, so once this is over with... How many weeks do we have? 2 weeks? It's the 21st is whenever we have trumpets. So, 2 weeks away? About 11 or 12 days. And remember what I said before? What if Yeshua returns this season? Are we ready? Are we ready? Are we still dealing with a lot of stuff going on? There's house buildings. There's house getting ready. You know, you're moving into your house. There's a lot of things. Arnold and them, they're trying to get ready for the family to come on down. They're on their way down. You know what I'm saying? There's so much going on. So what can happen is it's easy to lose what? Focus. But it's my job to help you keep focused. Amen. If that's what the ministry is about, is trying to help us keep focused, because there's a lot going on. Verse 25 says this, "You shall not do any ordinary work, and you shall present a food offering to Yahweh." Now, we're not going to bring a food offering, but what this means today, that we don't come before Him empty-handed. This is one thing that when Tammy and Halisa were going through what they were going through, that's one thing that we've learned from these sacrifices from Leviticus. It's the main focus is this, that we never come before Yahweh empty-handed. We were always, if you approached Him, if you look in Scripture, you never just showed up. You always brought something. Remember David? David, whenever he went into the field, he said, I need this. I need this sacrifices. I need this. And then he said, well, I'll just give it to you. And David said, no. He said, I can't bring something that didn't cost me something. He wouldn't allow the man to give him everything. He says, no, I will pay for it. So we have to bring something, and that's how we're doing it today, is we have to bring something. So during the feast times when we're here, we make sure that we don't come before Him empty-handed. So I want to show something here, or tell you something. You can look it up. Teruah is Hebrews or Strong's 86:43. It means shout, shouting, alarm, sound, blowing, joy. You don't ever hear the word shofar, trumpet in there. But you hear the word shouting, you hear the word blowing, you hear the word joy. Now this is where I want to go with this. Let's go to Exodus 32. Exodus 32. Verse 17 through 19. Now the word teruah, since it means shout, shouting, alarm, sound, blowing, it means alarm of war, war cry, battle cry, or it can mean shouts of joy. Which is it? It's yes. That's the answer, is yes, because it's both. But I want to read a story. This happens to be Moses and Joshua. It says, verse 17, when Joshua heard a noise, that word noise is call, it's Q-U-W-L. It means voice in Hebrew. So that word noise is voice. It can mean sound. So it said, and Joshua heard a noise of the people as they shouted. He said to Moshe, there is a noise or a sound of what? War in the camp. But he said, this is Moses, it is not a sound of shouting for victory or the shouting of the cry of defeat, but the sound or a voice of singing that I hear. Now here's the thing. Moses heard a sound and Joshua heard a sound. But who heard the right sound? Moshe did. He discerned what it was. So when it comes to this word teruah, which means shout or blast, can we have the discernment to know what we're hearing? This is why this is so important to know this season. For those, and we're going to read a scripture in Thessalonians later. It says, the dead in Messiah would do what? They're going to hear the right sound. But those who are alive and remain, will we hear the right sound? This is the reason why I say this. Did the prophets not foretell of Yeshua's first coming? Absolutely. But when He came on that day, it said that wise men came from the east. No doubt these were Jewish men that were trained at coming out of Babylon. Daniel, when he was there, he administered to these people that they could understand the times and seasons by reading the what? The heavens. And they knew by the heavens that there was a child that was born. And so they knew the signs of the time. But guess what? The rabbis in Jerusalem, they missed it. They didn't understand the sound. They didn't understand what they could see or what they could hear. They missed the whole calling. And this is why I'm saying this. This is why it's our job as ministers is to make sure that we stay focused, that we don't lose focus, Because I'm telling you, material things won't mean a thing when you hear that trumpet blast. You won't. It says, let the dead bury the dead. It won't matter. It won't matter what may be going on in your life, your 401k, wondering what's going to happen to it. You ain't going to care what's going to happen to it, because you're going to have the best retirement plan that there could ever be. Amen. Eternity with the King in the kingdom. You see what I'm saying? So this is why we have to stay focused during this time and season. I'm very, very mindful of the people in Florida, the people in Texas. There's congregations right now that's already evacuated, both Hebrew Roots and Christian, that's had to get out of the... They don't know what's going to happen when they go back. But how many times have you heard of people in Texas will tell you things you can replace, families you can't? Do you know this is what they have told them in Florida? There's some people are going to stay on their boats and ride this out. And you know what the mayor and the governor told them? Write your social security number on your arm so that we can identify you, even if you can find them. I was reading last night about Camille. A lot of you probably don't know because you wasn't old enough, but Camille was a hurricane that happened in 1969 for us. It talked about how many people died and how many people were missing. There were 72 people that was never accounted for. They don't know what happened to them. Could have got washed out. What I'm saying is there's warnings. There's a teruah. That's what teruah means. It's a sound. It can be the sound of joy or the sound of alarm to war. Which one is it? You got two leaders that led Israel, Moses and Joshua, but the one who was leading at the time heard the proper discernment. The other one had the zeal, but he says, man, there's a sound of war in the camp. He said, no, there's a sound of revelry and singing in the camp. And you see what happens is you got two dynamic patriarchs in the scriptures hearing totally different things. So this is why it takes focus to be able to hear what the sound is. Mark, if you would, I want you to blow teruah. Teruah is 9 quick blasts. Josh would usually do that later. He's going to explain what on trumpets itself. So I'm not going to go through tekiah and shevarim. I'm going to let him do that. But this is what you're going to hear. This is the day of trumpets. In Numbers 29, if you'll go to that one, it says, and in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall also have a holy convocation. You shall do no laborious work. It says, this shall be the day of blowing trumpets. And this is teruah. So I'm going to have him to blow the trumpet. Amen. Now, I wanted you to hear that. It was a sound, but it had 9 blast. This is the day of the blowing of trumpets. This is a sound that you need to hear. This is what we're being focused with, okay? What is that voice? But it says this, it's a sound of what? The emergency broadcast system. When you hear that sound, something happens in your... When you heard that sound, I can tell you, at that moment, you stopped. It got every one of your attention, because when you're going down the road and you hear that sound, I don't care what you're thinking about, I don't care what you're doing, if you hear that come on your radio, what do? You stop right there. But you see, when he blew that trumpet with teruah, that didn't do that to you, did it? But that's the sound you're going to hear whenever Yeshua returns. When you hear, because that's what it says, if this is teruah, that's the sound that we need. Because you know what? We don't live in the land. We don't understand these. That was a voice. What you heard was a voice. It's not just a sound of the emergency broadcast. It was a voice telling you something. You need to listen, because what's following, you need to know. When you hear the teruah, when you hear that, it should do the same. I still got chill bumps from hearing that thing go off. Because I know all my life what it does to you when you hear that sound, because you know that there's either a tornado, you know that something's coming next. There's a warning there. What is Trua? An alarm. It's an alarm. In Ezekiel, it talks about it. I got the scriptures, but I'm going to jump that scripture. But Ezekiel, it talks about the watchman on the wall. It says, if you see a man coming with a sword, and if you sound the alarm and they don't heed it, then if the blood's on their hand and not yours. But that's what a teruah sound was. That's what they would sound, was that sound, that do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. They would do that, and everybody, that would be just like what you just heard that Eddie played. It draws you. It does something to you. It does something on the inside. This is why I'm saying we need practice. This is why I'm saying we need focus. Because guess what? The scripture tells you teruah should do something to you. And most of us say, boy, that was really good, Mark. But when we played that other sound, you stopped for a moment and you want to know what was going on. That's when you, when we hear that teruah, we need to learn to stop to hear what's going on, because one day you're going to hear that teruah sound. What are we accustomed to? This is why a memorial, he tells us, focus, focus, focus. When do we mainly focus? We mainly focus when we see the weather's bad. When we see the weather's bad, we start listening for that sound to know where's a tornado, or we're waiting on Eddie to call us and let us know what's going on. You know what I'm saying? That's what this is about. Levi, let's go to Joshua 6, because I just told you about Ezekiel 33. Can we discern the proper sounds? Joshua 6, 1. Just keep going through the scriptures. There you go. Now, in this passage here, they're at Jericho, okay? Y'all know the story, but we're going to read the story, because here's what's going to happen. The word noise, the word sound, the word shout, all of these words are really call, means voice, means sound like you just heard. You're going to hear the word shout. When they shouted and the wall came down, that word's teruah. That word shout is teruah. That's that sound that we're going to hear. So what I'm saying is, what kind of a shout was that sound? I don't know. I don't know how. But they are also going to blow trumpets. But I want you to know in this story, Yahweh told them to do something and they did it. And guess what happened? Things happened. Amen? Things happened. This is why I'm trying to teach it this way. Trumpets. What, babe? Oh, you got a revelation. That's what I like.
Well, I was just thinking about the sound of the teruah, and you said the word for shout, because they actually shouted before they blew the shofar.
They did.
You know, if it sounded like, if the word is teruah, they probably sounded like, and I'm not trying to be funny.
No.
But like the Indians, when they were heading into war, that sound they would make would be the short staccato sounds.
But I know, but that's what I'm saying. But what is that sound? What was that war cry? What was that? Because what she's saying is this. Look, Cowboys and Indians. Who never watched Cowboys and Indians? If you did, you're not American. That's all I can say. But here's the deal. But what did the Indians do? But here's the deal. So what happened is they had a war cry. They had a war cry, and that war cry meant something when they were going into battle. That signaled something. Okay? So that's a good, but so I don't know exactly what that shout was, but I can almost tell you, I would believe, personal opinion, that shout would have something to do with teruah, because that's what the word is. What is that sound that happened that caused the wall to fall down? So let's read the story. It says, now Jericho was tightly shut because of the sons of Israel. No one went out and no one came in. Yahweh said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and its valiant warriors. You shall march around the city. Now understand this, right here, He's going to tell them to march around the city. So is he probably going to, I mean, I'm just throwing it out there. What if we were there? How many times does he ask us to do things that sound or look foolish? Now, every day. So he's going to tell them to march around the city. Jericho people, they're warriors. They're all up on the wall. They're locked in. No one can go in or out. They're locked in there. And here these people are marching around a city. And it ain't Mardi Gras. It's not a parade. What are these people doing? Now, what I'm telling you is could they, it's a mindset. It is a mindset. That's right. They're going to start marching, but this is what I wanted to tell you first. If the Father told you to do it, would you do it? Or would you sit there and say, I hope these people don't think we're stupid. What are we doing? I'm just saying. Because he takes the foolish things to confound the wise, to confound the very king of Jericho. Because what I'm saying is he's going to tell them something. He says, you shall march around the city, all the men of war circling the city once. Now that's something that probably Caleb and Brian and whoever else is in the military and police, I could just see them in the sheriff's department. What I want you to do is go march. Now they're going to arrest somebody in this trailer, but I want you to go march around this trailer 7 times. What do you think these guys are going to say? If Yahweh told you, you would. But if the sheriff told you, you would, you might do it. Or you might. Don't you try to pull that in. Maybe we have to just lay hands on you up here for sinning. But I'm just saying. I mean, if y'all went to make an arrest and he says, well, I think it would be good. I just feel led y'all to march around this thing and y'all just blow your whistle 7 times. I can tell you then, I'm going home. Y'all ain't embarrassing me because, you know what I'm saying? You ain't going to embarrass me with no blowing a whistle. I'm carrying a .45. I may shoot 7 times and I ain't going to blow no whistle. So, because this is what Yahweh's saying here. He's saying, tell your men of war to circle the city once and you shall do it not only 1 time, but for 6 days. 6 days. Your muscle-bound men who's carrying .45s is just going to march around the city and not do anything. Now, I can tell you from a warrior standpoint, right, they're ready to roll. Let's go in here. Let's do what we got to do. Knock, knock. We're here. Boom. And it's over with. Why are we going to wait 6 days? But do you know what? The Father, he ain't working on Jericho people. He's working on Israel. Are you going to trust that what I tell you is going to work? Are you going to trust what I tell you to do is going to manifest in a victory? Or are you going to go in there on your own understanding because you think you're all ready to go and you're just going to go busting on up in there and it's going to all be working for you? He's working on the people. And how many times does he work on us and tell us to do maybe some things? He's saying, am I hearing from you? Are you telling me to do what? And the thing about it is, it's about trust and it's about faith. Are we going to wait on his timing? Because he knows what's going on. So he's telling all of his warriors to do this. Verse 4 says this. Also, the 7 priests shall carry 7 trumpets. So now the warriors are saying, oh, now this is really great. You got a band going with us. Now here we are. We're going to go in there. We got shields and swords and everything. We got all our 45s, and now you got the band going with us. So we got a marching band. You know? So I'm trying to put in perspective. Look, these people in this day and time were not like we are. These people, hand-to-hand combat. What do? When we kill people today, we drop a bomb 20,000 feet up in the air. We don't see who we hurt. These people saw face to face who they cut the heads off. These were pretty ruthless type people. These were pretty barbaric type people, hand-to-hand combat. I don't know of anything but other than a longbow that they had that they would shoot. But everything else was hand-to-hand combat. They saw when a person died, they saw it. They felt it. They touched it. They were there. They didn't shoot somebody at a distance. So you can see this mindset. Now all of a sudden, the priests are going to go with us. And they're all dressed pretty. They all got bling bling clothes on. You know what I'm saying? They're all dressed in their priestly garments, and now they're going to go. They're not dressed like a warrior is. But yet, guess what? Praise always comes before the battle. If prayer, worship and praise comes before the battle. If we can't get that, then this is what the Father's telling us. Worship and praise comes before warring. Worship comes before warring. And everything we do, is that not the case? If you're going through a battle, try to fight it on your own. Get in your closet and you start worshiping. You know what? He starts fighting the battle for you. That's what this picture is about. It's not about, yeah, we got to do something. But you've got to do what you need to do first. We need to get this going first before you think you can go and do anything this way. And that's what this feast is about. So you see here, it says, so you got seven priests. They shall carry seven trumpets, and this word is shofar, ram's horns, before the ark. Then on the seventh day, you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow their shofars. Now, the word blow is tekia, and that's a long blast. That's different than the teruah. And it says, you're going to blow a long blast with the trumpets. That's what it's saying here. So now, verse 5. And it shall be, when they make that long blast, that's what we talked about. That's the word tekia, make that long blast. You've heard Mark do it before when we do the blessing of the shofar. Boop, you know. But this is one solid long blast. They understood these sounds. And it says, and when you hear the sound, this is the word kol. When you hear the sound, it's like when you hear the voice of the shofar. What do we do when we start off? The blessing of the shofar. Happy are the people who know what? The joyful sound or voice of the shofar. We've been saying this, I don't know how many years. But do you know what? It just gets into us to where we just go through it. Because it doesn't mean anything to us. It needs to start meaning something to us. It needs to start meaning something to us because this is the way the Father operates. Because I'm telling you, you don't want to miss that sound on Judgment Day. You don't want to miss that sound. You need to be able to discern that sound. And that's why I keep going over this, and I keep saying this over and over again. We think we're ready. I hope and pray we're ready. That's my job as a pastor, to make sure that we're ready. That as much as we want to enjoy, as much as I like to play tennis, as much as I like to go out and do everything I like to do, the thing is, I want to know that whether I'm on my knees and I hear that sound, or if I'm on the tennis court and I hear that sound, I'm not going to say, hold on just a minute, I want to do one more set. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be ready to go and throw that racket down and I'm going. Amen? Because he's not going to let me bring that racket with me. So that's what I'm saying. This is what we need to be focused on these times and seasons. It needs to impact us that when we come into these feasts, that it changes our lives to where we can better be ready for next year. Amen? That's what it's about. That's right, this year. So it says this, it says, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, the shofar, he's not worried about the people in the wall. He's not worried about the Jericho people. He's talking about his own people. All the people shall shout a great shout. That word great shout, that word shout is teruah. How many times have we heard in the scripture, and the walls of Jericho come tumbling down? That word is not plural, it's singular. That word, you look in every translation you want to look into. Hebrew singular. Do you think that the Father, if all the walls came falling down, think about it, there was a promise to Rahab. Rahab lived in the what? She lived in the wall, and he says, lay out this the scarlet cord, that rope, that I let you escape on, leave this out your window, and I'll know you get all of your people in here. If they're outside of here, they're done. But if they're in here, we won't bother them. Because if we do, then what happens to you will happen to us. They made a vow and an oath. But Rahab lived in the wall of the city. And these cities were these big walls. They were just not like a little old 6x6 wall. I mean, these things were 20, 40 feet wide. They had apartments in these things all around the city. Rahab lived in there. So if all the walls would have fell down, then hers would have crumbled down. But we sing as children, and all the walls, and we just throw the word, and all come, yeah, we're marching, and we're doing all our thing in grammar school and all that, right? But here's the deal. How awesome is our general? He brings down a wall and three standing. And Israel is like, right here. Where are they going to go? Nowhere. Israel's going to go in, and they have no place to escape. He hemmed them all in, just like maybe the Red Sea, where there was a mountain on two sides and the Red Sea was at Israel's back. Is that sort of like? And what did he do? He put a pillar of fire in front of Egypt until they all was able to cross. You can see these strategies throughout Scripture, how the Father, he knew how to be a general. He knew how to hem in Jericho. He knew how to hem all of them in. He knows how to do that. And it says the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people will go up, every man straight ahead. Straight ahead. That's what they're saying. When you march around, you're there. You're going to end up as, you're going to start in front. You're going to march around. You're going to end in front. And when you do, when you give that teruah shout, that wall's coming down, and you're going to go straight ahead. You don't think he's not awesome? If we will trust and listen and do what he asked us to do. 7 days. I had to wait. But see, sometimes, Mark, we have to wait on the victory. Sometimes I wished it was McDonald's instant. Toss a burger, go in there and just get you a happy meal. You know, when you want something from the Father, just go get you a happy blessing. You know, but sometimes we have to wait for 7 days. Sometimes we have to wait on a result. We have to wait. You don't know what's going on, but you got to wait and trust. You got to wait and trust because you know what? He called you to be here. If he called you to be here, that's all on him. That's not on you. If he tells us to march, enjoy what he tells us to do. What does grumbling do? It causes unbelief. Why are we even here? What are we even doing? What God are we following? What kind of general is this telling us to walk around and blow our whistles when we got all this artillery on us? What is he doing? You know, but you got to understand, worship always goes before war. Worship always goes before war. Understand, if you lose that, you're going to lose the battle. Because they lost that at Ai, and we're not going there. Because see, after they had this great battle, they said, we got this. We got this. We'll just send 3,000 on in there. That's a small place. And they routed them all the way back to the camp. Why? Because there were sin in the camp. And this is the thing, this is the reason why you worship. Because if you worship first, he will reveal what's wrong in the camp. If you think you can war first, worship brings forth revelation. It brings forth conviction. It brings forth whatever. Because you know, in this, you can read Joshua. After he got defeated at Ai, Joshua's on the ground. He's on his face, crying out. And what does Yahweh say? Get up, you crybaby. I'm just putting it in his terms. Get up, you crybaby. If you would have asked me first, I would have told you what was wrong. That there was sin in the camp. He didn't say, oh, you poor Joshua. He didn't do the politically correct thing. Put him in timeout. You know, and pet him and all. He said, get up. He just said, get up. And he said, if you would have come to me, I would have told you what the problem is, that there's sin in the camp. And when they found it, they purged it. And now what happened? Then when they went in there, they routed everybody. These stories are not in there because they're good history stories. It's telling me and you that we're going to have our Jerichos and we're going to have our Ais in our life. And guess what? We need him to fight them all. If you think you can fight these battles on your own, you're wrong. I'm here to tell you that you're wrong because I know by experience you're wrong. I know from my own self and I know from a lot of you because we have talked. The thing about it is we have to know anytime we're going up against a big army, man, we want a big battle plan. But when we're going up on somebody that we think we can just beat because it's just a little thing, we don't want to bother the Father. And you know what the Father's saying? Bother me. Bother me. That's why I'm here. Because you know why I say bother me? Because that's when I know that you trust in me, then in every area of your life, not just the big battle, but every area in your life, I am your king. Because I can promise you, because the word says so, and we've seen it, you get out and win a few battles on your own, then you think you're eating a bag of chips. Because that's what happens to us. We get prideful. Because what did he say? Because you're going to do this, and the next thing you're going to say is, I've done this by my own hand. And how many times do people do that? Saul did it. A lot of people did it. All right, verse 20. Then he said this, and it actually happened. So the people shouted, and the priests blew the trumpets, the shofars, and when the people heard the sound, that's that kahal, when they heard the shofar, the people shouted a great shout, Teruah, and the wall fell down flat. Still singular. So that the people went up into the city, every man straight ahead, and they took the city. They had to be in a cod. They had to be that way. That's what he's teaching us and training us to do through all of his word. And what are you going to do during this time and season? We need to focus on trumpets first. As much as Sukkot, and we love it, we have to focus on trumpets first. Amen. Zephaniah 1. Is it up there? There you go. Just real quick. It says, near is the great day of Yahweh. I want you to know that in scriptures, the word great day of Yahweh or the great day of the Lord occurs over 25 different times. But a lot of times when we read the great day of Yahweh, we're always saying what? We're always pointing it to the very end day. But in here, what he was telling them this was a prophet Zephaniah. He was going to them because Judah was under judgment for their idolatry and their neglect of Yahweh himself. So Zephaniah is now bringing a prophecy against Judah during this time, and he's calling it, Yahweh himself is calling it, that this is near as the great day of Yahweh. So we ought to be able to know that whenever we see this word, the great day of Yahweh, let's see what happens next. Because there is going to be a great day of Yahweh that we haven't experienced yet, that the world's going to experience. Amen? And so you'll see how this works. It's not pretty. But he says, near and coming very quickly, the word listen. Listen is that word voice, call. It's just sound. It's the same word, listen. That's not Shema. He's saying, listen, there's a voice. And this voice is saying that this is the day of Yahweh. This is just like in, the type is like in Matthew 24, 27. Whenever Yeshua ministered the destruction of the temple under the Romans. It's the same type thing. And it says this, it says, in it, the warriors cry out bitterly. You know what that means? It means they have hopeless despair. The warriors, look, if you're on the wrong side of things, that cry is a hopeless despair. Ain't nothing you can do. Guys, we have to be prepared. We have to be focused. We have to know what we're doing. It says in the scriptures, and I can't go to all of them, it talks about them in the parables. We've read the parables many times. It says, when the bridegroom is delayed, this is the virgins, they all fell asleep. And guess what? Our Messiah, 2,000 years ago, don't you say that he's sort of delayed? He is in our understanding of time. But Yahweh says what? 1,000 years is as a what? A day. To him, it's only been 2 days. What are y'all saying? Ain't been that long? It's only been 2 days. But to us, it's been over 2,000 years. To us, it seems like a long time. But think about it. How long is eternity? Sort of longer than 2 days or 2,000 years, whichever way it is. So you're seeing here that during this time, this day, it says verse 15, a day of the wrath is that day, a day of trouble and distress, a day of destruction and desolation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Guess what? Is there sort of like a scripture that says that he's the same when? Yesterday, today, and forever? Do you know that whenever he brings the day of the Lord or the day of Yahweh, when he brings that on people in their time in here, it's usually like sort of like all the same. It's the same picture. It's the same destruction. It's the same darkness. It's the same gloom. It's the same. You know what I'm saying? So we ought not be shocked, because we already have history about what he's done over and over again. Look, we already know what's coming. But understand this. This is why we can have hope. This is why I always say this. The Red Sea is the best thing that I can picture. The Red Sea, when it opened up, it delivered Israel, but it destroyed the Egyptians. The thing about it is when this day comes, there's going to be deliverance of a people, but destructions of those who don't know him. It's the same act. What happens in Christianity is we're thinking that there's two different acts. There's a bunch of harps with cupids and angels coming down and getting this group. And over here, there's hellfire and brimstone and big Satan with big tails and forks and all this on this group. We think there's like two different events happening. Two different. It's not. It's the same dark, gloomy situation that's happening. But guess what? People of faith see this as deliverance, where they see it as destruction. Amen. It's how you see it. You welcome it. What part are you in? Because you know what makes it? If your heart is pure, you will see it as deliverance. If your heart is not right, your heart knows. Your heart will know. That discernment, when that trumpet blasts that day, I'm telling you, you will either be rejoicing or you will be sick as a dog. It will hit you in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, because you will know. You will know if you've been playing games or not. You will know if you've been coming here just because it's the right thing to do, or it's because you have a relationship between you and him. Amen? And that's what it's about. It's about knowing that we got this. This is not a game. I keep telling over and over, and you're going to hear me say this until he comes. And you may hear him say it right off the bat. You know what? This is not a game. But I'm just saying, it's not a game. The thing about it is one day we need to keep awake. It's hard. I know it's hard. We got so much going on in our lives. But we need to stay focused. We need to stay focused, 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 focused. I don't care if there's 15 rounds in a boxing match. If there's 15 rounds, we need to discipline ourselves for 3 rounds. No. You better discipline yourself for all 15, because you may go all the way through 15 until the bell rings. If you discipline yourself for 3 rounds, you will only make what you discipline for. That's one of the world disciples there. And whatever you discipline your life for is what you're going to be. That's all the fight you got. And then after that, you just got a hope and a prayer. You know, but this is why this is here. We have to discipline ourselves to stay awake. We have to discipline ourselves to know, you know, well, I got time. That's what they've been saying. You got time. You got time. You're going to party, drink, be merry, and all of that kind of stuff. The world ain't got all this time. Look at the devastation that just happened in Texas. And you got this one coming up right behind it. And do you know what his mercy is? That Jose decided to go off out into the Atlantic. Because Jose could have come right in there behind and come right up through the middle. And you know what? You had total destruction from Texas all the way to Florida. And if y'all can remember Katrina, I remember whenever George W. Bush and a general flew over this area, the general said, this is what a nuclear bomb looks like. He said, this is what a nuclear bomb looks like, the total destruction. This is what the Father does. And he can do it. All right, last scripture, 1 Thessalonians 4, 16, 17, and 18. You guys know this. For Yahweh, our master himself, I want to say this. This is going to happen. This has not happened yet. This is going to happen. This is what Yeshua is going to do. This is the setting. For Yahweh himself, for Yeshua himself, you might as well say that, will descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice. Have we sort of like heard these two words this whole message. This is the reason why I'm telling you this, is for this reason. For those of you who are new, now it gives you something to explain to your loved ones who don't like the Old Testament. This is how relevant the Old Testament is. The Old Testament's sort of relevant because where are you getting all of this voice and shouting from? From the actual Torah itself. This is language from the prophets. This is language from the Torah. That's right. This is language. This is not New Testament language. This is Testament language. Amen. He says there's going to be a shout with a voice of an archangel with what? A shofar, a trumpet of Elohim. And when this happens, it says the dead in Messiah will rise first. They're going to hear. What are they going to hear? How do they know that they're going to rise? What's going to give them that? They're going to hear that shout. They're going to hear that voice of that sound, because that, just like that emergency broadcast system, when that thing hit, you understood what that meant. That was a voice speaking to you. That's what it's going to do to you, but magnified a million times. You're going to hear that voice of that trumpet, of that archangel. You're going to hear it, and it's going to rattle you to the point that the dead in Messiah is going to come out of their graves. It's going to bring resurrection. That's power, guys. It's going to bring resurrection. And it says, then we will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet our master in the air. And so shall we always be with Yeshua, with our Lord, our master. And he says, therefore comfort everyone with these words. Now this is not a rapture here, but this is the resurrection. And here's what's going to happen. The live and the dead, those who are asleep, will all hear it when? At the same time. And they will discern exactly what it is, because that is going to be transformational. This right here is going to put sinew. It's going to put life. It's going to put everything back into those who has gone before us and bring them up out of where they're at. Scripture that talks about those souls that are under the altar crying out, how long, how long? And he said, just a little longer. Their souls crying out, how long will you not avenge our death? How long? There's martyrs under that altar. But you know what? How great that is? They're in protection. They're in protection because they're under his altar. That's how awesome that is. And at the resurrection, he's going to bring us all up out of that. And he's going to change us. And how long will that happen? In a twinkling of an eye. And see, this is why I tell people the best way I know how to tell it. I don't know everything, but I know this. For those who die, for those who fall asleep in Messiah, the thing about it is, they're in eternity. They're in eternity. There is no... It's like that. From the time they go to sleep to the time they're up is a twinkling of the eye. They're standing before their Maker. Hey, that's right. Abraham, same way. Because Paul will tell you, nobody else has got the promise before you. We're all going to get the promise when? At the same time when we hear that voice. But we can take comfort that we understand that in eternity there's no time. Everything's like this. Everything from the time Yahweh's always been, he will always will be. We can't fathom. Well, we keep trying to find, well, where is that beginning that he was started? You can't. There is no, it's a circle. It keeps going, going, going. And that's what's so beautiful about it. That in that day, when you hear that trumpet, we need to be prepared to be able to hear. If you fall asleep, and I'm going to end here. If you fall asleep in Yeshua, I'm very confident that you will hear that sound. My thing is for those who are alive and awake, will we hear that sound? Will we hear that sound? If we stay focused, we will. If we don't get pulled off and get sidetracked and get whatever pulling us to where we're not looking in this book, what did he tell Jericho? He said, whenever you shout, he told him to do something. He said, go where? Straight ahead. That's what it's about. Go straight ahead. That's what this walk is all about. Going straight ahead. You keep this focused here, you don't have to worry about. You keep this focused here, I'm telling you, you don't have to worry about what's on this side of this book. Amen. You don't have to worry about right here. Because if you focus and if you go, and if this is leading and guiding you, this is our shield, you don't have to worry about what's on there, Tony. You don't have to worry about it. Because guess what? It will move anything in your path out of the way. As long as... But if you're doing this, or worse than that, you got it on the back of your dash or your car, that ain't a good place to have it. You got to have it in front of you. This is the reason why we read it every day. This is the reason why we have our Torah portions every day. This is the reason why we have some kind of a way. This is our life. We eat it, we grow. You throw it to the side, you're eating something. And whatever you're eating, you're growing something. And that's why I'm saying for those who are alive and remain, we need to stay focused. That we don't ever stop eating this and start eating something else. This prettier, sweeter, looks good. You know what I'm saying? Let's pray. Father, I just pray that in this message here, in this season, that we know and we understand that there's going to be a teruah. There's going to be that trumpet blast. There's going to be a sound. There's going to be a noise. Father, some people are going to be able to discern it, and that's what we're looking for. Some people are going to think it thundered, and they're not going to be able to understand what's going on. There's going to be chaos that's all around. Father, we also know and believe that you're going to, because these are times and seasons, through the prophets, they prepared the children of Israel for the coming of the Messiah the first time. Religion, man-made traditions, took place of the actual Torah itself. And it blinded them that they could not see. Today we have the exact same thing that's happening. Denominations, we have all of this stuff going on. Even in Hebrew Roots, we have all this stuff going on. This got us to where we have lost our focus. I don't know how many ways, how many things you have to send our way to wake us up and to keep us focused on your word and on what you would have us to do. But I pray, Father, that in this season, that we would learn and we would understand just one more time. Father, that you're serious about these feasts and festivals. You tell us in your word that it is a memorial. That word is to keep us focused. And you wouldn't tell us that if we wouldn't lose focus. So I pray that during this season, as great and as awesome as Sukkot's going to be, that we don't miss out on the blessing of the blowing of trumpets. Whenever we have our holy convocation, whenever we're here to meet with you, these are your appointed times and seasons, not ours. And if they're that important to you, they better be important to us. So, Father, I just pray that you bless your people today. I just pray, Father, that these words will go in their heart and they will just marinate on it, Father, and it will grow, Father, to where they can see the urgency of these times and seasons, and they can see that this is just not something that we do. But Father, this is our very life. And we thank you, Father, for it in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Thank you, guys.